Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It's time to go home. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. It's Free for All Friday, which means we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today I'm feeling a little nostalgic. So I've been making several trips over the past few weeks to San Diego. One was a personal trip to see friends. The other two were work trips to film a new course for the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics and to visit my colleagues in the office in El Cajon, California, which is in the eastern part of San Diego. And I love these trips. I love seeing my old friends, but also I like seeing my old town. See, I grew up there. I was born in San Diego, and I grew up in a small town north of it called Encinitas. So what I want to talk about today is just what I miss and just kind of like stories from childhood. And maybe you have this experience. See, when we left, for Laura, I mean, it was still hard to leave like some of the amenities in California, but it was harder for me than for her, even though I was majorly motivating the decision. We prayed about it, discerned, and I said, you know what? God is calling us in this new direction where to live. But it was still hard because I had more of an emotional attachment to the city because I grew up there. I had so many memories as a kid. And maybe this is the same way for you, especially if you're married and you take your spouse to your old hometown. They just can't see it the way that you see it because you were formed as a child and it's so ingrained in you to come back and see it now, to see what is different and what has stayed the same even 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years later. You know, some things, the old song says, some things never change. So I want to talk to you today about stories when I was a kid growing up north of San Diego. What's different, what has changed. And if you're listening on podcast, by the way, I encourage you to go to our Council of Trent YouTube channel. So go to the YouTube channel because I'm going to include their video clips of the stuff that I'm talking about. I mean, you can listen to it just fine, but if you want to see what I'm talking about, definitely go to the YouTube channel because while I was there, I shot footage on my iPhone around where I live.
So when I came down here to film the video for this, you know, I recorded the audio first in my office and I was just planning to come down here to get the video. A ton of memories stirred just being back down. Of course, when you go back to your old hometown, that happens. So I've got a few clips here that I'll drop in here and there. I remember I was driving by to film a little bit. My parents used to always take me to the Humane Society. So they always took me to this place. Once we get up here, I'm gonna be going over a bridge. We always asked my mom and dad, can we have a dog? And they said, no, you can't have a dog. We don't want any pets. I think we had a cat that would hang around and leave all the time. So when we would ask, can we have a dog, my parents would just take us here to this Humane Society and we'd play with the dogs and cats here, get our fix and go home, which I thought was a smart move on their part.
I grew up in a sleepy seaside town named Encinitas. You go back nowadays to Encinitas, it's very touristy. The bones of the town are still there. I still recognize it. But there's a lot of things that are new, like so many new restaurants on Main Street. Everything's very hip. But a lot of the houses are still the same. So when I lived there, I lived on a hill overlooking the town. And from our house, you could even see the ocean, you know, glistening off over the bluffs. And we lived within walking distance of this park. And I remember when I was a little kid, you know, my earliest memories, I don't know, when are your earliest memories? My earliest memories are probably like when I was 5, 6 years old. I remember being dropped off my first day at school. I'll get to that shortly. I also remember playing at this park nearby our house. It was a park on D Street. It was the D Street Park at the top of the hill next to the library. Now, the library is super new, renovated, modern. It looks amazing. But I miss the old library. It was a little small, felt like a one-room little library. And I went there as a kid, and I learned the Dewey Decimal System. And I thumbed my way through the library cards to see if there were books there. There's no computer catalog, nothing like that. You had to look it up. In the little, do you remember pulling out the drawers and you would flip through to find the book you wanted and you checked its Dewey Decimal Number and you went in the stacks to see if it was there? I remember doing that when I was 8, 9 years old. But I remember when I was about 5 years old, I go to this park and I just had a blast. My dad would take me there and there was this hill that I would run up. And I would run up the hill Then it was a higher elevation above the park, another like wooded area and grassy area. And when I was five, I thought this was a forest. I thought this was like this magical place that I secretly found. I was really big. I mean, when you were five, did you? I'm sure you did this. You wanted to find magical places to escape to. And, you know, your sense of adventure. So I would hop under this fence and climb up this hill. And I was amongst these trees and it felt like being like lost in the forest. And then when I went back and I looked around, it was really tiny. That's one of the hard things about growing up. You go back to the place you were when you were a child, and the grandeur and the majesty is lost, unless when you were a child, you went to the Grand Canyon or Yosemite, and it was just so much smaller, but I still had an affection for it. There was another park on Vulcan Avenue, which is one of the main streets, and I remember distinctly as a kid, an early childhood memory here, I was probably 6 or 7 years old, playing at this park. It's one of my earliest memories of terror. I can still see it burned into my mind. I was playing on the grass, running around, and there was this dog barking and running at me, baring its teeth. It was a big black dog. I think like a Labrador, or it wasn't a pit bull. It was like a big black dog. He was running towards me, and he was dragging his owner's lawn chair behind him. So the owner tied the leash to his lawn, you know, one of those flimsy metal lawn chairs you take to the beach, right? And this dog was just gunning after me, baring his teeth, running after me. And I was just screaming, ah! And here is where the memory gets fuzzy for me. Either I climbed and scrambled over a fence, and then the dog barely got me. Or sometimes when I think about this memory, I'm pulled up and over the fence so the dog doesn't get me. It wasn't that high. But when I tried to think about the event, the memory, and it's one of my earliest memories, it gets sketchy and fuzzy because, you know, that's something that happened 30 years ago when I was a small child. But it's still just, you know, burned into my mind there. But it was a sleepy town, and my parents did not want the town to ever change. They're, I guess, like, you know, I'm an activist. I when I was in college, I went to college campuses, and I talked to people about abortion in front of big, ugly exhibits. And I didn't care what people thought because I wanted to do what was right. And my parents, they didn't want the town to change. So when the city council proposed that a bus station would be built with an adjoining train station, that there were train tracks that went along, and the Amtrak would go by, you know, that goes from LA to San Diego. We would whisk by really fast. But that was it. To get to the town, you had to drive, get off I-5. And like I said, it was a sleepy little town. I feel like people didn't really discover San Diego until like the year 2000. Because after that, property taxes just like, I mean, sorry, home prices just completely shot up. But of course, we moved probably in like 1995. So my experiences growing up there, at least the ones I can remember, probably be from like 1990 to around 1995 or so. And so it was just this sleepy little town. And when my parents heard they were going to build a bus station and a train station, they protested. They hung a big banner in front of their house that said, "Stop the bus station." And it didn't work. But my mom, it was very special. I remember the very first train that came. Now there's a train called the Coaster. It serves all those beachside communities. You can ride it from San Diego up to Oceanside. And then at Oceanside, you can get on the Metrolink, which will take you all the way up to L.A., or you could just take Amtrak the entire way. But the coast is pretty cool. It's nice. It's well-maintained. It's a little pricey, but it's a nice little ride. It takes about an hour from Oceanside to San Diego. But what's really cool about it is the ride from Oceanside to down to Solana Beach is really pretty. After that, I don't think it's that great. It's mostly inland. But from Oceanside to Solana Beach, especially from Encinitas, or especially from Solana Beach down to Del Mar and then further down to San Diego, you go right by the ocean. You're like right along the bluff and you see the waves crashing and it's just really cool. Whenever I'm back there and I have a few extra days or time, it's fun just to ride the train up and down and just get a feel for the coastline. So when the Coaster opened, the very first train that came to the station, I was probably 9 or 10 years old. My mom woke me up at 5 in the morning to take the first train, just commuters going to work. But my mom wanted me to go on the very first train that left the new train station that was built in the town, especially because I love trains. I still love trains. I should do a free-for-all Friday on how much I love trains. And I was just super jazzed because one of my favorite museums in San Diego is the Model Railroad Museum at Balboa Park in San Diego, which if you're there and the museums are all open, it's a great museum to take kids. I, I enjoyed it as a kid, and I'm sure your kid would like it too. Let me think of some other memories, though. So I lived on this hill overlooking the town. I'd go with my dad, and we would just walk down the hill. We would walk to the beach. Moonlight Beach was our favorite spot, still one of my favorite spots today. We'd go get food at Raul's taco stand. They got great tacos there, the best. They're so good. And it's still there, and I'm so happy, and I always love to get that. That or Angelo's to get a delicious chocolate shake made with real ice cream. And I love it still. They got a whole bunch of new restaurants, hip places. I don't need that. I need the taco stand and the Angelo's burger stand, and that's good enough for me.
This is a restaurant that my parents used to take me to all the time called Captain Kino's. I loved it as a kid, and it still has the decor I like now. I took my wife here many years ago, and she didn't like it. You know, it's kind of dark, a little dingy. But man, you can get a ton of food here for like practically nothing. It's so good. But the decor is left wanting for some people. What's funny is I looked all around on the outside. I can't even find the Captain Kino's sign anymore. But still good memories.
Along the main street, though, they had a few other shops I remember. They had the comic book shop. They had, and that was one of the first places where I went and I bought comic books for, I think, like 50 cents probably at that time. And that's where I started to get into comic books, is the comic book shop along Main Street. I don't know if it's still there. If it's there, I'll try to show footage of it. But if not, I mean, that would be sad. However, here's what's really cool. Where I live now here in Keller, Texas, there is a comic book store 5 minutes away from our house. It's not walking distance, but I could take my son there and they sell vintage comic books for like a dollar. The ones that are not as famous, but that's the ones I want to show my son anyways. And so I can still relive a little bit of that with him. There was also a few things that didn't change. There was a used bookstore. And actually, when I was there, I went and bought Kristen Lovren's Daughter, that set, the novel Kristen Lovren's Daughter, for my wife. And the book owner, I remember that bookstore even as a kid. It had been there forever. And I think it was called Book Tales, because there was a cat. You would go in, buy a book, and there was a cat that just napped in the corner or napped on the books. And that cat has always been there, though I think now it's kind of like, oh, it's Snowball 2, Snowball 3, or Comet on Full House. Like, how many comets did they go? The dog on Full House, remember? Comet. How many comets did they go through on Full House? You know, maybe it was the same comet. I don't know, but that has not been the same cat. My parents' cat, actually, is still alive. They had a cat. Well, we had a cat, and she had kittens. Both the other kitten and the mommy cat have passed away. But the one kitten, Smokey, is still alive. They say he's like 19 years old, and he's still at my parents' house. So maybe you have a long-lived pet that is still waiting for you. So those are the places I remember. I remember my dad teaching me to ride my bike in the parking lot of the city hall, because we could walk right down there to it, and riding around in circles. Do you remember the parking lot where you learned to ride a bike or to drive a car? It was in Arizona. My mom took me to the parking lot for the first time to drive a car. It was that City Hall parking lot where my dad taught me. And there was this big loading ramp behind it, super steep and long. And we would always race. We would always check, make sure there were no trucks. And then we would race down it. And I just felt absolutely super cool to be able to do that.
All right, so I have a scar here underneath the right side of my face, very, very, very small. And I got it when I was about 6 or 7 years old here at the YMCA. So I was really excited that the YMCA is still here, but they don't have the location where I got my scar. So they used to have a big skate park here. Like, I mean, this was back in like 91, 92. So in the early 90s, when you're a kid, everybody was into skateboarding. You know, if you couldn't skateboard, you weren't cool. So I came here ready to learn to skateboard at the YMCA. They had half pipes and huge ramps. And my parents got me a helmet and elbow pads, wrist pads, knee pads. I had pads everywhere. I was prepared everywhere. And then a kid went down a half pipe and then he fell off his skateboard. It went, and his board went flying through the air, and it hit me square right in the side of my head. I blacked out for a few seconds, and then I woke up. My parents took me to get stitches. So here they were. They were trying to keep me safe from everything, and I still found a way to get hurt. But that's okay. That's what it is to be a kid. But so the YMCA is still here, but they don't have the skate park stuff
anymore.
Okay,
so this is Sylvan. It's a tutoring program. And my parents cared a lot about education. So when I was little, they tried to get me into the Catholic school, Catholic school wouldn't take me because my mom had left the church, but they wanted me to, they cared a lot about education. I appreciated that. So I went to public school, you know, Pacific View, Paulecki. My parents also took me to Sylvan. Now, it wasn't this one. You can see in the sign here, it says grand opening, because I tried driving where the building I used to go to when I was a little kid, and it wasn't there. So I guess they relocated over here. But when I was a little kid, I remember walking in. I remember taking the assessment test, and I just worked my butt off to get these tokens. Like, if you did math problems, you would get tokens. And there was this Spider-Man comic I wanted so bad. And I worked and worked and worked, and I saved up all my tokens, and I got it. And it was a Spider-Man comic about how Spider-Man gets in a fight with Dr. Octopus and gets amnesia, and he forgets not only who he is, but how to do, like, basic math. So he has to go to Sylvan to relearn all his math skills. Nowadays, I'd be like, oh, man, this is pretty lame. But when I was six, that's awesome. I got my Spider-Man comic. So that's something I do remember from my little kid days.
Let me circle back, though, to one of my other earliest memories. So I have, my early memories are, like, playing at the park. I'm, like, 5, 6 years old. The other early memory I have is my first day of school. I'm excited because Matt, probably in the fall, he's going to go have his first day of school. I took him to a little practice day, and it went well. So if everything goes all right, we're doing registration now. He'll be doing a homeschool co-op. And so I'm super excited for that. It's not like what I did. I went to public school, to government school. I wouldn't want that for him. But the experience, though, of being away from us, even if it's just like for one day a week, it's something else for kids to go through. I remember walking up my dad dropping me off, my big backpack. I remember walking up the big steps. And when you're a kindergartner, you have to really hike up your knees to get up these steps. Nowadays, you don't notice as an adult, but you got to hike up your knees to get up these big concrete steps to walk up to school. And I went there. The school I went to was Pacific View Elementary. So that was the elementary school I went to until about third grade. And it's still there, but it's been condemned. The school has been closed, but the city of Encinitas can't decide what to do with the land because the land is super duper valuable. It sits on a bluff overlooking the ocean. It's within walking distance of Moonlight Beach. That land is worth probably tens of millions of dollars. And they built an elementary school. I mean, you know, this was probably back in the 60s, the 50s, when they built a school there. And they, you know, they weren't thinking as fiscally or commercially. And they built a school, Pacific View. And it really did have a view of the Pacific overlooking the ocean. We would play there. And I remember kindergarten, third grade. I remember in third grade, I told this girl in my class that I loved her, Savannah. I said that I loved her. We were standing by the monkey bars. And then she laughed at me and ran off with her friends. And I spent the rest of the third grade doing experiments, running notes, doing research, trying to build a time machine. I was unable to complete the time machine to go back and change my mistake. So that was my one early experience from the third grade. I also remember when we were in the third grade, we got to do create our own little cities and start our own little businesses and have like mock city and mock entrepreneurship. And we did that. And I thought that was so much fun. I can't wait till we do it again. And we never did it again. Never, never again. I waited all the time for it. Never came again. Wow. For being in such a pretty locale, this school is a bunch of sad memories for me. I guess learning to read and write is also really good. So I went there. I don't know what they're going to do with the school, but it looks creepy now because it's all closed and condemned. But then in the fourth grade, maybe into fifth grade, but I know definitely fourth grade, maybe it was part of third grade, I went to Paulecki Elementary School, which was a little bit more inland. The only memory I have from there as a little kid was I remember there was this cool park overlooking the elementary school. And it had play equipment that was way better than the play equipment we had at the elementary school. Like, it had that bar you could grab onto that slid on a rail. And I thought that was the coolest thing because it felt like you were flying. And I wanted to play at that playground, not at the playground at the elementary school. But, you know, we're fenced in. They designed schools like prisons so kids can't get out, which makes sense. You shouldn't have, like, first graders and second graders breaking out of school doing who knows what. So they had a fence around the elementary school. But I found a flaw. The fence went over a small drainage culvert, very small, just a few feet wide and, you know, like a foot deep that drained from the hill that overlooked the elementary school. So the fence went over and it left a gap. It left a gap among in the drainage culvert. And so being a little kid, you could climb under the fence and get out, run up the hill, play at that playground, wait for the bell to ring, run back down the hill, climb under the fence, and nobody was the wiser. And then somebody figured it out because, you know, it's not Mission Impossible here. I'm a third grader. My cover's going to be blown. And then I remember one day I went to try to do it, and they had, maybe it wasn't me that did it. I think some kid who copied me got caught and ruined it for everybody. It wasn't me for sure. They installed another metal grate to cover the gap where the culvert was, so kids couldn't sneak out. So I was always disappointed that they did that. But otherwise, it was super fun time being there. I remember the apartment buildings that were nearby my parents' house, where one of my first friends was. I think I was about 5-6 years old. He was the first friend whose house that I would go and hang out at, and he had a Super Nintendo and he had Super Mario World. And I went over there for the sole purpose of watching him play Super Mario World and drinking Sprite, because I didn't have soda at my house. Did you ever go over to somebody's house because they had food and your parents didn't buy that food, and you're like, oh, like, oh, would you like anything, Trent? Like, oh, you know, it's fine. Like, would you like some Sprite? Sure, why not? What is this magical elixir that my mom won't get for me? And so I would get Sprite and cucumbers. I'd watch him play Super Mario World. And sometimes he would say, hey, do you want to play? I'm like, no way, dude. I don't want to break the streak that you're on. Just keep going. This is highly entertaining for me. Though eventually I was like, dude, pass me the Sprite. Give me controller number two. I'm Luigi. I'm gonna do this. And that's where I learned the video game. So, hey, that was, I don't know if I went in the best order for you to understand little Trent. I don't have any pictures. Maybe the next time I'm back, the thing is, my parents don't live in San Diego anymore. They live in Phoenix, Arizona. Maybe the next time I'm back in Phoenix for our YouTube channel, I'll share pictures of childhood. So that's always something fun. I'll have to skip over high school because it is embarrassing. There's enough people out there who probably have old pictures of me from high school to be able to share. But I'll try to, I don't have any pictures of me as a kid. And now, what a change. I have probably thousands of pictures of my children, right, ready at the disposal. I could send to them as adults for them to have to look back on. I don't have any. But you know what? That's okay, because I have them here. Maybe they're not photorealistic, but they're enough for me to remember what it was like being a little kid and where I grew up. So this was fun. I enjoyed sharing this with you all. Definitely leave in the comments section below if you're watching on YouTube your favorite memory as a kid. Where did you grow up? Do you ever go back there? And hey, maybe we'll do a follow-up off to interview one of my relatives or my parents and see if their memories cohere with mine. So, hey, thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.